was standing back here just worshiping the Lord. Such a presence of the Lord I could feel in this house, in this presence right now. He's here, and he's releasing his heavenly host to minister each and every one of you. He's here for a reason. He gives you life and life more abundantly. And that's what I feel the presence of the Lord right now. He's moving. He's just ministering to you, each and every one of you right now. But that's not what I was here for. I just want to share with you what the Lord has been speaking to me and saying to me. This has been going on for a couple months now, and I finally get the release to tell you. So I want to tell it in a way I heard him say it to me. And he says, watch, watch, I say. Everything you know is about to change. It will never go back to the way it was. Watch, I say, watch. He says, I am taking away which is old, so to make room for what is new. He said, do not look at time, but look at events that are about to come. You will see unusual events that are about to take place. These things never happen. Nothing can stop what is about to happen. He says, we are about to meet God, the great I am. The truth shall be resurrected, is what he is saying. Then he goes on to say, though your legs be shaky, stand. Keep standing on my word. Do not give up, for my word will not return void. It goes forth with power and might to accomplish that which was spoken. So he says, stand fast, hold on to me, hold on to my word, and you will be victorious. Then this here recently, he just showed me, he says, soon I will turn the pages of all this here. And he said, listen, listen, but I am giving you a warning. I will fix this, he says, but you will never let this get in this shape again because you are the salt and the life of this earth. Then I saw a vision where the book, okay, like a page, when you're turning a page in a book, and I see this page is going beyond halfway. It's almost turned completely. And he says, do not live on that side of the book any longer. You live on this side of the book, the page that was turned. And that's all he says, and I just praise him and thank you.
All right, Mother's Day. I for the last many years, I just haven't felt led to share necessarily a Mother's Day message, but this Mother's Day I do. And I want to read from Genesis 5, 1 and 2. And so listen to the word of God. It says, this is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created man and he made them is plural, in the likeness of God. And he created them, plural, male and female, and blessed them. And he named them Adam, when they were created, or he named them mankind. Father, thank you for your light that you give us. Lord, knowledge is one thing, revelation is completely another. Thank you for lifting the veil so that we can see. Thank you that we don't discern or understand these things with the natural man, but by the Spirit. And so thank you for giving us eyes to see the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of your love toward us. For speaking to us in ways that even language, the English language, can communicate. And just speaking directly to our heart as deep calls unto deep. And now, Lord, as your word goes forth, we thank you for speaking in a way that will be the tree of life to us, and that it will bring manna, hidden manna, from your presence to give us wisdom and insight and transformation. And we desire that. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. So God creates mankind. God creates Adam, and he created them what? Male and female. So when God creates, every bit of creation that God makes has some type, some bit of his nature and his character in it, right? So you can look at any creation, and he creates things that are good. When we read Genesis, it says that he creates things and they are good. So everything that God creates is good. It has some reflection, some image of himself. And all through the scriptures, we see God revealing himself as Father, as Son, as a warrior. All these in what male context. But it's interesting that God even reveals himself in the female context. God is not male. God is not female. God is spirit. God does not have a body through which you would be able to discern whether or not he was male or female. God is spirit, and those who worship him must what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. And so God reveals himself, uses metaphoric language to reveal himself, his characteristics, his nature, the way that he deals with things through various pictures. We know him as Father. We know him as Son. But when he wants to reveal himself as someone like a covenant-keeping God, a compassionate God, one who will never forsake or leave his people or his children, he uses the metaphor of a mother. He uses the metaphor of the feminine gender to reveal that. And we'll see that in scripture. In Isaiah 49, 13 through 15, God says, "Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on the afflicted. But Zion," or his people, "says, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord's forgotten me." But God says, "Can a mother forget her nursing child?" In this instance, God doesn't use a male metaphor. He uses a female metaphor. And he says, "Can a mother forget her nursing child, that she would have no compassion on the son or the child of her womb, even though these may forget," he says, "but I will never forget you." And so on this Mother's Day, no female, that you were created in the image of God. You are not less than man. God created you in scripture. He created mankind male and female. And he called us Adam. You're created uniquely and differently for the glory of God. If you haven't figured this out yet, men and women are different. They are different. Now, I'm not going to make a broad brush. I don't mean to make a broad brush statement or just a, you know, gloss over the fact that we are different as individuals, that some of us men have what we would think are female tendencies, or some women have male tendencies, right? I love to sew. Is that a female thing? I don't know. People find out I love to sew. They're like, "Oh, really? I didn't know that." That was one of my favorite classes in school, was home ec, and I loved making this pillow, and that was the start of it. We learned how to make a big pillow like this in like sixth grade. And so now I'm the family sewer. I take after my mom. I'm the one who sews my socks. I don't throw them away. Well, if they're real bad, I do. Right? I sew my socks. I actually hemmed one of my daughter's dresses for a prom. I sewed two toys just about a week and a half ago for my grandkids because the leg was falling off one. Noah goes out in his Spider-Man outfit and one of his gloves was breaking open and I sewed that for him. I love to sew. I love to cook. I mean, that's not a feminine thing, but I love to cook. But a broad brush statement, we are different in the way that we're created. It's obvious, right? Just look at us. Our anatomies are different. The way we think usually is different. The amount of words we speak in one day is different. I know ladies, there's some of you out there that you don't use your 25,000. But there are some ladies who take yours and add it to their 25,000. Right? We're different. Jackie asks me all the time, how was your day? I say, good. What'd you do? Not much. Jesse always, when mom always asks questions, he always says, he feels like he's being interrogated. She asks questions after questions. Ladies, you like to talk. You're different. You want to know relationally. That's the root of it, right? You want to know people. You want to love on people. It's said that men work best shoulder to shoulder, right? In other words, we like to work together, but we don't want to be face to face. Ladies, you metaphorically like to work face to face. One of my favorite comedians, Brian Regan. If you ever want to look him up on YouTube, he's very clean. But anyway, he talks about, he says when he came home from golfing with his buddies, his wife said, so how's John? And he's like, oh, he's good. He's like, how's his wife? I heard she wasn't feeling well. He's like, I don't know. Well, how are their kids? And he's like, I don't know. She said, You were with him for 4 hours and you didn't ask him how his wife or no, why would I do that? We were playing golf side to side, shoulder to shoulder. That's how guys do it. We're made differently. We're created differently. And mom, you were created differently for the glory of God. God has given you specific attributes and abilities. Again, not blanket statement. Everybody's different. But on a whole, that's why there's a thing called a man cold. You know what a man cold is? Does everybody know what a man cold is? Raise your hand if you know what a man cold is. See, a man cold is a disease that's really a cold, but we play it like it's a disease. It's the worst. This is the worst ever because we need taken care of. Pain levels. If someone asks you what your pain level is, you can ask a woman what her pain level is. And it's like, one or a three. That same pain level to a guy is like 8. We're different. We're made different. I think of the parable of the friend at midnight. Jesus told the story of a person who had friends come over and strangers come over and they needed bread. And so this individual had nothing to place before them. So they had to go to another friend's house and it was midnight. And Jesus said the door was locked and the person was in bed. But because he knocked and knocked and because of his persistence, he opened the door and gave it to him. The reason I tell you that story is because mom and dad can both get up at 2 a.m. to take care of a crying child, but one will complain a lot more. It's because we're made different. You display the glory of God in ways that men usually can't. And that's why when God wants to give us a picture of his faithfulness, his covenant-keeping character, his unwavering commitment to us, he uses the metaphor of a mom as his example. I'm always amazed, I've shared this many times in sports, normally when the camera goes on the athlete, who do they say they love? As a whole, mom. your qualities of compassion and kindness and self-sacrificial, self-giving love impacts our lives in such a great way. You display the image. God made man kind in his image. Mom, you bear the reflection of the father in a way and the mother in a way that none of us could. Now our culture is consistently trying to tell us that there are no differences. I think just by observation, you know that that's not true. You know intuitively that that is not true. And then our culture right now, especially in our country, we're about to get, it's already started, but we're about to see the heightened debate about the abortion issue because of Roe versus Wade and the leaked issue from the Supreme Court. And so that is going to really start to be on all your news medias even more and more as the days go ahead. And it is really a battle of, we were talking about this in Sunday school, it is a battle really of kingdoms. It is a battle of worldview and ideology and the fundamental truths on which society or creation is even made, creation from our point of view or society from their point of view. And I don't mean that like it's us and them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm very careful not to try and do that because there's all different shades of gray all the way on the spectrum of this issue. But one of the things that as someone who sees the world from a theological point of view, from God's creation, is that one of the greatest gifts God has given to mankind is mom. Mom. The ability that God has given you that he has not given to men is to create within your body another human being. What a gift. And that is under assault. We possibly are going to see a change. You know, Micah was talking about the changing of a page. Who knows? This could be the year. This could be the time when the Roe versus Wade issue might be overturned. But that to me, it's a big deal, but it's not necessarily issue. I shouldn't need a law to tell me not to kill another human being. It's heart issues that we have to deal with. Our heart as well. Because if the church, one thing the church is good at, and when I say the church, I mean us, is we like to tell society what's right and wrong, but really we need to come up with solutions. And the church has been talking about this Roe versus Wade issue for so long. I think we also, if we're going to be on the forefront of saying, hallelujah, it's overturned, I also think we need to be on the forefront as well of adoption. Do you know one of the things that happened in the first century in Rome, the way that babies were done away with, if you read history, is that they would let them be just taken out. If a family didn't want the child for whatever reason, they would let them die from exposure. In other words, they would just take them outside and the baby would die from no food, no liquid, and just exposure to the elements or even wild animals. But what happened was the church would go out and they would find these children and they would take them in and they would raise them as their own. And so as this debate roars and as this debate gets unfortunately pretty hairy again, don't always just be on creating two sides is what I'm trying to say. Because God loves those individuals very much. And we're here to bring answers to society, not just point out what's wrong. And the church has to be motherly is what I'm trying to say. Thank you, Mom, for being the picture of God who is the compassion, the kindness, and the self-sacrificial giving that impacts the world. Ephesians 3, 14 through 20, this is Paul. And he says, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. In other words, every human being came from the womb of God. And that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and that you being rooted and grounded in love. And this is what I want to get to. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of God. To know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. And how does God let us know that? One way is through mom. The height, the depth, the breadth, and the width. In Malachi, when God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit and I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Why does he say fathers to children? Because if you look at society, it's mom usually, not completely, but it's mom usually is the one who is there. It's the hearts of fathers that need changed. And so the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width. I mean, how can you exaggerate the love of God? How can you exaggerate the grace of God? A lot of times when I'm talking with people, you know I'm a grace guy, right? And I get accused of being too much on grace. I honestly don't have a lens for too much grace. I don't even know why there's a limit to grace. Everything we have is a gift. How do you put a limit on grace? But the love of God, how far can the love of God go? I love the picture I just tried to describe of the shaft, right? And it's deep and it's dark and it goes down, but the grace of God will go to the deepest, darkest pit in your life. He doesn't meet you in the good places all the time. He meets you in the broken places. He meets you in those dark places in the recesses of your heart. And he finds you there. And like a father, he nurtures you. And a mother, he nurtures you. And the Holy Spirit, I'll close with this. The Holy Spirit, this might bother some of you, but you can look it up. It's true. The Holy Spirit, and especially in the Old Testament, and even in different languages, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Syriac, words for the Holy Spirit were always in the feminine. And many Christians don't know that. The word for the Holy Spirit in all of those language was in the feminine. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, when I am gone, I will send you the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, counselor, comforter, a comforter, one who comforts. Always nearly feminine, the Spirit. And the also spirit of wisdom was always shown in the feminine. A lot of people took a lot to task with the book and the movie, The Shack. There was so much controversy about that, about God being a woman and the Holy Spirit, wisdom being shown as a woman. But, God shows himself metaphorically through that. We're not trying to say God is a woman or God is a man. We're just saying that God, we can't define him that way, but it just means that we attain a better appreciation of who he is through these metaphors. You know, Jesus even compared himself to a mother bird. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, how I would have gathered you. Like a hen gathers her chicks. And so, mom, thank you for being a mom. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for being a strength to the fabric of our communities and our families, our church, that no one else could do. You are made in the image of God and we value you. You are a gift. Let me read this last verse and we'll close. Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice over her. All who love her, be exceedingly glad with her. All who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breasts, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosom. And thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you will be nursed and you will be carried on my hip, and you will be fondled on my knees. And as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. You will be comforted in Jerusalem." Father, we thank you. As a nation, we have set aside this day to honor our moms. This was your creation, Lord. This was your creativity. This was your expression, that we might know a greater depth of who you are. We speak your blessing and your provision and your protection. May you just fill our moms and all our ladies with a divine energy, Lord. As so many of them feel like they're just hit the wall. And they have so many things that they're responsible for. And Lord, you are the God of the second wind. You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God that breathes upon us and gives us life. Thank you for giving life. We just speak your life over everyone. And Father, we pray that as our families go in separate directions to honor their mothers on this day, that Lord, this will just continue throughout the day and through the weeks to come, and that our moms will know every day what a gift they are. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.